Gentas presents The Opportunists by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. This book is dedicated to my brother-in-law, Squadron Leader John Chisholm Ward, the seventh-generation descendant of one of Australia's pioneer families. Chapter 1. She had not wanted to take the drastic step of running away with Francis Delancey, Dora Lucas reflected wretchedly, as she watched the rooftops of Parramatta vanish into the gathering darkness. And she had longed to stay overnight at the hostelry in the township, so that she might wash and change her clothing before continuing the journey, a tedious one, in the heavily laden bullock wagon, with no shade from the sun in daytime and no shelter from the night chills or any sudden shower. But Francis, fearful of pursuit, had insisted that they must go on. Crouched in the wagon behind him, Dora shivered, sharing his fear. Her husband, as she well knew from bitter experience, was a vindictive man tormented by jealousy, but even he would surely have stopped short of creating a scene had he found her in the Parramatta Arms, which was always crowded. Whereas on the open road, with only Francis to protect her, she drew an unhappy, sobbing breath, glancing involuntarily behind her and half expecting to see the dread figure of her husband galloping after them and intent on vengeance. But there was no sound of hoofbeats, no other vehicle on the long, winding road to their rear. Yet Benjamin must be aware by this time that she had left him. She had penned her note as soon as he had set off for the naval dockyard, and had left it propped up on the dining room mantel, where he would be certain to see it when he returned for luncheon. Francis had insisted on that too. "I want him to know that I am taking you from him," he had said obstinately when she attempted to argue. "I owe that at least to Red Broom. I've caused him more trouble than he deserves one way or another. But he never understood, Dora. He never tried to understand that what I feel for you is not mere infatuation. You are the love of my life, my sweet darling," and he had looked down at her with such tenderness. Dora remembered, holding her in his arms, his strong young body pressed against hers. "Now that you are carrying my child, you cannot stay for a single day longer with that unspeakably vile old man. You are mine, my beloved, you and the child." Dora shifted uneasily, seeking relief from the jolting of the unsprung wagon. She had made a grave error, she realized now. She should never have told Francis that the baby she had conceived was his. Undoubtedly it was. Benjamin's frequent but futile attempts to get her with child had never succeeded, and had only filled her with loathing and contempt for his ineptness. But she could have deceived him. He wanted to believe that he was capable of fatherhood, so that it would not have taken much ingenuity to play on his vanity. And she could then have pleaded her pregnancy to spare her from his unwelcome lovemaking, and thus have lived in reasonable contentment in the grand official residence allotted to him, freed of financial worries and able to enjoy the social standing she had always coveted. Benjamin would have been placated, and she could have continued a clandestine relationship with Francis, which, thanks to his father's eminence and his family's loyal support, could probably have gone on for years, quite unsuspected. But instead, Dora's small white hands clenched convulsively at her sides. She had been foolish, she chided at herself bitterly. She had permitted her heart to rule her head, and when Francis had run inquisitive fingers over her thickening belly, as they had lain together on a deserted beach, in a joyous prelude to their lovemaking, she had told him the truth, quite unprepared for his reaction to it. "We will run away, darling," he had decided, in a voice that brooked no argument, for all it trembled with happiness. "I'll buy you a wagon and a tent and supplies, and we will go to the Goldfields. Lucas won't look for us there. It will mean living rough for a while, I know, but we'll be together, and it is spring. It will not be too cold in the mountains."